dancing on the bar, stomp your feet, start clapping, got a real good feeling, something bad about to happen.
Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Here's Jessica Blaylock, Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, and Blythe Brumleave.
I can't do it anymore. I'm just not expecting anything out of this.
So you missed, with about 30 seconds left in the first half, the touchdown that the Cowboys scored on us.
Oh, no, I saw that.
Oh, you did.
I was flipping.
Okay.
But that was the point where I was like, nope, nope. But I watched back and no.
See, I don't think I've ever been a fan who can turn it off or not watch the games that I know we're not going to win or even play well. This was a game where, honestly, I thought the Jaguars were going to really compete. I know that Tony Romo was injured. I knew that we had started to play a little better. You know, we gained some momentum. And then it was just like someone had stabbed that balloon that you get when you're 5 years old for your birthday. And that mean older boy stabs it. And
that's a perfect analogy.
And like, you're just so deflated and you were so excited to begin with. I mean, obviously working on Jaguars today with Mike Dempsey over there and all the co-hosts that we had on from London or from the Grove Resort just outside of London, they were so excited and they were having such a good time. And I was so caught up in the fact that we were going to play well because I was bound and determined that this was going to be the time that we showed those true United Kingdom fans, the UK fans, that we are good, that we are a team to believe in, and we are going to make them proud. I was hell-bent on that sentiment all last week. And it just all went away when Ace Sanders dropped that punt.
Oh, that was so brutal. So brutal. I thought they were going to knock Tony Romo out by the second half.
Yes.
Or by the second quarter. I thought he'd be done.
I didn't think he was going to play at all.
Too. I was sat him on my bench, on my fantasy squad. Yeah. I sat him. I was like, there's no way. He's going to break his back. He's going to be paralyzed for the rest of the year with the way our defense is playing. And
right.
It did not pan out.
And I don't know why. I think that, yes, we know about the missed tackles and we know about the big plays. But I don't know why we went from a team that was, I thought, playing a lot better to a team. Right, competitive football. To a team that just looked so outmatched that there was no hope in the second half. Mm-hmm. You, it was well over.
And Friday, Chad Scott, you know, was talking to Jessica and myself, and, you know, he mentioned it's always one little thing each week. You know, maybe the defense isn't doing something. Maybe the special teams isn't doing something. Maybe it's the mm-hmm. offensive line or whatever. He's like, it's never everything at once. And then everything at once.
It was the turnover battle, too, was a big one again. They just can't seem to win that turnover battle. And it was a combination of everything going wrong at the worst time. Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to prove to a national audience, and I almost want to say that maybe it was the travel schedule for them that maybe put them in a little bit of a funk going straight to Cincinnati and flying straight from Cincinnati over to London. Maybe that had something to do with it.
Well, and I know they tried so hard. They had them at the Grove Resort, so it was very secluded and isolated. They weren't near the city. So it was a team bonding week almost. And they even said, like Jeff Lagerman said, that they have less distractions this week than they normally do when they're home. They don't have their wives usually there or kids or dogs, and they can just simply focus on football. And I know that they had some injuries going into it, but you still felt, at least I felt, like we were going to play the best possible game that we could play. Yes, I know that the offensive line was going to have, you know, Brandon Linder out and have to start Jacques McClendon in place. But I still felt like, you know what, Jacques McClendon was originally considered for that center position, so he's going to play pretty well. I was just so eagerly anticipating it that I really couldn't. I almost cried, I think, when I was at Boston's at River City. I really was just deflated is the word I'll use, disappointed.
It was a mental collapse.
It was, and yet, at the same time, I still believe that we have the right head coach and we have the right general manager. It's just a feeling, this temporary feeling is what I'm going to call it, that we're just not any good right now because we are so young.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that you've hit on is that the team is so young that maybe it was just a mental collapse. And they will say that you can spend a lot of time together and that you're bonding over there, but it's not the same. They're not at home, and that is their typical routine in their day-to-day life. So I do think it still plays a part in that, and I think the travel schedule plays a part. But then again, on the other side, it's just how many more excuses are we going to make for this team? And I'm sick of making excuses.
You know, I'll go back to, you said, you know, you still do believe. And I am with you right there. I believe in Caldwell. I believe in Bradley. However, if you're going to work down that ladder, no. I have not been a fan of the offensive game plan. Clearly, the special teams is horrendous.
Garbage.
And I have no clue, none of us do, what's going on with the defense. They're up and down. They're great one week. They look like they did on Sunday. I don't know what's going on there, but for me, no way with the offense, no way with special teams.
I think definitely with the GM and with the head coach, you still have to keep those guys intact because they're just the puppet masters to all of this. A head coach doesn't deal with the day-to-day play calling that an offensive coordinator deals with. So I think you really have to look at like you said, that chain of command because Gus is still doing his job. His job is to be highly organized, to be a motivator, and obviously he does play that role. So I still have full faith in the Dave and Gus tandem, but as far as the rest of the team, I heard some comments that they should have left the special teams coordinator over in London. And at this point, fire everyone.
Gus admitted during halftime after the game in the post-game press conference that he was angry after that first half.
Good.
And right.
Yes.
How could on earth could you not be was really my sentiment. Okay, so if we believe that they're the right guys in place, what do you guys see for the rest of the season? We spent last week saying that we thought actually some of the units of the team were going to improve. Have you changed your minds at this point? Do you still feel that way? Do you think this was more of the anomaly?
I think it was anomaly of...
That's such a hard word to say, isn't it?
Yeah. But with a bunch of different circumstances coming together for a perfect storm, I still think we win 3 more games. Is optimistic. We play the Titans one more time. We play Houston twice, and we swept them last year. Yeah. So we should be able to take care of those divisional wins, and that's how I would keep my sanity.
We're all in agreement. We're not going to beat the Colts.
No,
not a chance.
So we're going to be 1-10, and that's after the bye week. And that is just so hard to see flash across the screen, don't you think, Donna?
You know, it can't be hard. We've seen it the past, 3 years?
This is the third year in a row we've started 1-9.
Yeah. I remember I did the update yesterday, and I talked about they've only won twice in 3 years before their bye week. Twice. That's it. Over 3 years before their bye week. That, to me, is just, really? You know your bye week is somewhere in the middle of the season, you know? And
it ain't easy.
No.
It
sucks. This really sucks. But what I see... is just, well, let's see how, you know, Jolka works out here. Let's see how JT Thomas works out here. Let's see testing maybe, you know, the limitations of each player. There's nothing else. That's what I would be happy with. Hey, he's shining over there. Who would have thought?
I think Sunday, to me, like you said, Blythe, I don't think that it's the way we're going to play the rest of the season. I do think it was an anomaly. But what I really want to see is more improvement from Blake Bortles.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a good enough judge of the offensive line to be able to tell you if Luke Jokel is good or not unless his side of the ball gives up a sack. And unless that's partially on Blake too. I really can't tell. But I can tell, I watched the quarterback, and I thought he played a pretty good game on Sunday, except for, yet again, we have another turnover. So do you guys see him getting better the rest of the season?
I think they're playing him too safe. That's what I think it's the play calling with him. He's not throwing downfield. He barely scrambles. And it seems like it's almost just he's waiting for something bad to happen.
Do you think he's himself has taken some of the plays out of the playbook?
No.
No?
I think it definitely starts with the play calling.
You know, it reminds me a lot of, and in no way am I comparing Bortles to Michael Vick, but it reminds me a lot of when he was in his heyday in Atlanta and they tried to game plan for throwing, you know, for a whole game. And that never worked. Why would you do that? Why would you take him out of his element of what he does best and throw this in there? And it never worked for them. And that's what listening to, I will say, your show,
Jaguars today,
with Lagerman talking about Bortles and how he has that one, which he calls the bucket shot, right?
Mm-hmm. The bucket throw. Yep.
Bucket throw. And they never have him do it, rarely have him do it, and that's what he believes is his best shot. And I'll take his word for it because he watches the game plan. So, and I agree with you, Blythe. For me, it is the play calling. I don't see why they're not utilizing him the way that they should.
Well, we have a few more games left after the bye week, but I think we're all going to take this bye week, take a deep breath.
Yes. God, we need it.
And regroup, and you know what? I guarantee we will all be just as excited come Sunday morning, November 23rd, when we go to play the Colts. All right, if you have ever wondered what life is like with a general manager and three dogs, you'll find out next when we catch up with Joelle Caldwell, wife of Dave Caldwell. You are listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tacker here at 1010XL. Want to wish a very happy Veterans Day from a guy that had a brother, a father, and two uncles in the military. Thank you for everything you do, and have a happy Veterans Day.
God bless the USA.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels, and joining us now, special guest Joelle Caldwell, wife of Jaguars general manager Dave Caldwell. Joelle, good evening. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
We are fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Oh, of course. And we actually have a special guest in studio with us as well, and that is Donna's little dog, Olive, that she rescued. So we are having all sorts of interesting things happen to our feet as we're talking.
I'm sure.
Now, you have three dogs, right?
Yes, we do.
And what are their names?
That's my late dog. Coco, Monkey, and Nala.
Aw. And Oscar still has a special place in your heart.
Yes, he always will.
And what kind of dogs are they?
So there's two boxers, and Nala she's just a mix.
Okay, so you must have a big backyard for all three, right, to run around in?
They're crazy. I mean, what used to be nice landscaping is now just mauled over by the dogs.
That's usually how it happens.
Yeah.
Joelle, it is such an honor to have you on. We really don't know a whole lot about Dave Caldwell. He likes to keep it, you know, tight-lipped ship, and you always see Bradley out there.
Words.
Right, exactly. So tell us a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind.
Oh, my gosh. Well, obviously, you know, my love for animals. I grew up with, that's just how we grew up. I had every type of animal, as I have one crawling on my lap right now. we have one son that keeps us very busy. And
7 years old,
yeah,
correct?
He is. He's 7 and a half.
And is that Little Dave? Is that what he goes by?
Or D.
D, nice. What is he into? Is he into sports yet?
Oh, my goodness, yes. You name it. He, soccer, baseball, flag football, basketball.
Wow.
Yeah.
Favorite?
I think we're going to have to start to dwindle back here a little bit.
Yeah.
Trying to pick maybe a two.
Right. I just can imagine the gas bills on that are outrageous from all the traveling. So
yeah,
tell us a little bit about your side. How do you spend your, what's a typical day look like for you?
I mean, well, today I went on a field trip with my son's class
to
the old museum down in St. Augustine.
Nice.
That was a lot of fun. But that's it. If there's stuff for me to do at school while he'll have me, I aggravate him at school. I try to volunteer there as much as I can. There's
my dog. I
love the barking in the background.
They're going to follow me no matter where I am.
No worries. Now, he's 7 years old. Does he still run up to you and give you hugs, or is that past?
No, he does. And what's really cute, too, is his little friends at school will. So it's a really great age.
That's awesome. I have a 2-year-old son, so I'm just...
You have at least 5 more years.
I'm taking all the hugs I can now because I'm like, I know they'll go away.
Absolutely. At this age, it's probably my favorite because they're still like, they still want to be with you, but yet he can dress himself or he can do some things on his own, but yet they still need you.
He still thinks you're cool.
In. Right.
Now, what kind of dad is Dave?
Oh, I mean, he's amazing. David just adores his dad, and his eyes just light up every time he walks through that door. He's very patient, very obviously good at teaching him the sports end of things.
Clearly. Careful.
Like
get down.
I love this. So, Joelle, you just took your son over to London when the team went. How was the trip?
It was awesome. We went last year, too, and it was just the best experience. Me growing up, I never was able to travel like this little boy is able to do. And it's been an awesome experience just from him being able to see like the Buckingham Palace, just the little things like their pounds, the money versus our money. And he just has the best time over there. When we stayed out in the country with the team for a couple of days and he was able to go out to practice and throw the balls around and be water boy and get dirty. he just has so much fun.
What was your favorite thing that you saw out there?
This time?
Both times.
This time was my first time I went to Harrods.
How much fun
was
that?
And I was very overwhelmed. I don't think I got, like, past the shoe department. It was crazy.
You can send us some pictures of those shoes that you got. Right. It is called Helmets and Heels.
Right. David gave me, like, maybe 2 hours. Oh, I'll see you in 2 hours, honey.
That's not nearly enough time to go shopping in London.
No, and he knew that.
Smart. How did y'all meet?
Oh, gosh. We did it in high school.
Wow.
Prom?
Yeah, that's quite the story. We dated in high school and then tried it in college, and it was too far away, but that was a good thing. We grew up, and we separated for about 8 years and then got back together.
Oh, my gosh.
That's awesome.
I know.
Who contacted whom when you were getting back together?
If he's listening right now, he's laughing. Actually, it's kind of mutual. We just ran into each other, and that was it.
What colleges?
I went to a small private college in upstate New York called Casanova, and Dave went to John Carroll University.
Nice. Joelle Caldwell joining us here on Helmets and Heels, wife of General Manager Dave Caldwell. Joelle, talk to us about your love for the Jacksonville Humane Society.
Oh, my gosh. Those ladies over there are just amazing. I adore them. I think I want to get a job there.
That's got to be tough, though, right? Because you'll want to take every stray home.
Absolutely. I know. I just love those ladies, what they do. And I just think they're like angels to the animals. They really are what they give. And they're just so selfless. And the time that they put in and what they do, they're just amazing, amazing people. And it's just an inspiration.
Do you have a limit on how many dogs you can have from Dave?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I think my HOA is about to send me a letter saying I can't have any more animals in this development. So.
And you guys host the Toast to the Animals. You did that in September. How did that event go?
That was amazing. We raised a ton of money for the animals, and we couldn't have been more thrilled to be part of that. That was an honor.
I got to tell awesome. You, what impresses me most is the foster parents out there that they'll bring home the animals, they'll foster them until they're healthy enough or old enough to go back into the society and be able to be adopted. That's so impressive.
That those are also wonderful people. There's a special person that does that.
I have a friend who calls herself a failed foster parent because she keeps keeping them, and she has like 5 dogs now.
I feel like that's the way I would be if I were in that situation.
Right. I ran into somebody at Petco, and they have 10 dogs, and she knows somebody that has 30 dogs.
I didn't even know that was possible for all of those dogs to get along.
I hope there's a farm for those 30 dogs.
Right, to run around.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, Joelle, a little while ago, I saw this special on ESPN called SEC Wives. I'm not sure if you saw it or not, but they featured a bunch of the different wives of the SEC. And there you saw a mom that was out on the field serving Gatorade to the players. You saw sort of another wife that was more the fashionista. And then you saw the one that was kind of funny and showed the lighter side of things. Tried to help her husband, I guess, through, you know, some stressful situations. What kind of wife are you to Dave? How do you balance each other out?
You know, I think the most important thing is I try to take myself out of the football part of it. if that makes any sense. Like, when he comes home, I really try for it to be just like a calm atmosphere where if he wants to talk about it, he can, but I don't ask too many questions. And we just talk about normal stuff and David and, you know, our day here and about the dogs and stuff that can kind of just kind of release his mind of it, I guess.
Right. More of the important side of life.
Yeah. Yeah. More of his, this family part of life, you know?
It's always a tricky balance. And so I was just wondering how you guys sort of, I guess, balance each other out, especially with the long hours that he must have at the office. I read a quote the other day that some coaches slept at the office on Sunday night. It's just,
right.
It's a tough life for not just for the GM of the team, but for the families as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think in the football world, lately I've been saying this is that a second family. You're very protective of each other because you all know what you're going through and you're all kind of in a similar situation and we're all in this together and working towards the same goal. Like, it's not, well, someone's trying to work for this and someone's trying to work for that. We're all trying to be the best team that we can be. So it's really a family atmosphere that it is an incredible atmosphere there at work, and you just feel so blessed to be part of it.
Joelle, what is a typical game day like for you?
For me, it's a lot of times we have, whether it's friends or family that are in town. So for me, it's getting everybody together and whoever we are hosting in our suite or whatever that may be, or, you know, people need to get down to the field or just that aspect of it. It's kind of what I do on game day.
And what do you wear exactly? Do you wear Jaguar stuff? Do you kind of get dressed up? You know, we need the details here.
I get a little bit more dressed up just because, like, we're in the suite and if we're hosting people or whatever, but it's always Jaguar related. Whether, I think we have the funnest stuff in the NFL to wear in terms of our Jaguar print stuff that's, like, so in style right now. And that, you know, just our colors, our teal and our gold and black.
You rock it.
I try to go that way.
Face paint and all?
No, but my son has done the teal hair.
We've
painted his hair, yeah.
Now, little Dave has to understand clearly what his dad does. So how does he look at it?
He is beginning to understand it, and I think he just thinks it's really cool. He likes to go and, he likes to go into work with Dave, and he likes to go to practice and throw the football around and just kind of hang out with the boys. He gets me a lot of the time, so when he can be with any type of male figure, it's cool.
Well, and the players that we've gotten to know are just so wonderful, whether it's with kids or with us. They're all great. So I'm sure that he absolutely loves that. Joelle Caldwell, wife of General Manager Dave Caldwell, joining us. Joelle, what's next on the docket for you? You've got a bye week. What goes on now?
Right. A big deep breath.
For all of us.
Yeah, right. I think we're just going to chill around here and just relax, have some family time, and we were thinking about trying to get away somewhere, but no, I think we're just going to stick around.
Staycation.
Sure, after going to London, I think staying at home is not too bad.
Right.
Right, exactly.
Joelle, we have, we love our job here. We always talk about, you know, what the Jags are doing and what we feel and everything like that. Do you or Dave at all ever listen to any of the media?
You know, obviously it's out there, so it's hard to not hear anything, but I really try to stay off of, I try hard to stay off of everything.
Yeah.
That's what I would do, except listening to Helmets and Heels.
Right, exactly.
We're the positive ones.
Yes. But, I mean, it's hard, but in the same breath, you know, no matter what you do, no matter what your husband does, I think there's always going to be, right, there's always going to be somebody that, you know, has a different opinion and has their own opinion. And, you know, you just got to kind of shield yourself from it, I guess.
Take the good with the bad and realize how blessed you are for the opportunity. That's kind of how it seems like you live your life.
Right, right.
We're all Caldwell fans here, that's for sure.
For sure.
Well, we love to hear that. Thank you.
Sure, you probably don't hear it enough. It's
right.
Probably more negative than anything.
It's funny, the first time I talked with Dave on the sidelines at training camp, Joelle, he said, you know, oh, you have a dog? Well, we have dogs. If you ever want a house sit or dog sit, let me know. I was like, all right. I'll bring my dog. It'll be a party. And then I'll get you in trouble with your HOA. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It has been a blast getting to know you. I cannot thank you enough.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful talking with you all.
Thanks, Joelle.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Thanks, you the same. That was Joelle Caldwell, wife of General Manager Dave Caldwell. What a phenomenal human being.
She sounds so sweet.
So sweet.
Supportive.
And absolutely supportive. Yep. Just...
That's probably exactly what he needs.
Right. And someone who can take it into perspective. Hey, I know your day was stressful. Let's talk about Coco. Of course, my mind went right to Oscar because that's the first one she mentioned. But
I should ask how they got the names. I forgot.
It's all right. How did you get your dog's names?
Olive. That was both combination of my husband and Michelle, who works here.
Mm-hmm.
They chose it because the last time I chose a dog's name, which was our first dog, I chose Brewski. Not after the beer, but after Teddy. Brewski. And that did not go well.
No.
So I will refuse to name another animal. And our other one, Maverick, is not from Top Gun. It's from the actual movie Maverick, because poker.
I've never seen that movie Maverick. Should I see it?
Oh, yeah. It's when Mel Gibson was cool.
So it was a long time ago.
Oh,
I love Mel Gibson.
Not when he was crazy.
So it'd be a little crazy to be a good actor.
Yeah. Donna has two dogs. I have one. I have a black lab. Blythe, you used to have a dog, right?
Yeah, it was a German Shepherd mix. He was really, I mean, he was one of the smartest dog I've ever been around. He was really great, but I had to give him up in a separation. So
no good.
The other guy got custody. We tried split custody for a little while, but it didn't really work out.
Should have went legally blonde on him and just went and got that dog back.
In a separation. I love it. Well, and considering you played hockey, you probably wouldn't win that fight. So
yeah, right. No, I didn't want to try.
All right, we are going to switch from dogs to someone that people might consider a dog in Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm.
That is coming up next on Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Rocking it here. Helmets and Heels. We're not at Everbank, ladies, tonight.
No.
We are at 9090 Hogan Road, better known as 1010XL Studios.
Better known as Olive's new sleeping area.
Yes.
We're really more like wandering, sniffing area.
Does she
Olive's
kind of remember this area?
I don't know. This is
Maybe.
The first time I brought her back, so I'm not too sure.
Mom, the memories.
Dramatic.
Painful. My mom is killing me right now. She's listening. She is not a dog fan. Sorry, Mama.
You know, I think that happens a lot, and then they just get converted based off of how much you love the dog.
Nope.
All right.
Nope, my mom. No. No converting my mom. Huh. Oh, welcome back, everybody. Final segment at Helmets and Heels.
Time flies when you're having fun.
We saw Fat Tony walk in. Very excited. He's following us now.
He is following us with the Fat Tony Show that is back this week.
You know, I need to ask him in crosstalk about if he has seen The Judge. I haven't talked to him about the movie yet. Because he is well known for his, you know.
Movie critiques.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I'll leave on that part of the show because I see one movie every 10 years.
That's a shame.
I'm going to see The Hobbit. Does that count?
That does count. And I don't know how to transition from The Hobbit to what teams we think are going to win the Super Bowl.
Who reminds you of The Hobbit?
Let's get to your picks, Donna. Who you got?
You know, it really is a toss-up for me for the NFC. Because I wanted to say Arizona until Carson Palmer.
Sure.
That's so
Towards
sad.
Towards ACL, I know.
It really
isn't
is.
It? Although, if you're looking at it from his perspective, it was a few days after he signed his, what is it, $50 million extension.
Yeah.
So,
did you read that story, though, that he cried like a baby Sunday night
and
afterwards?
That,
well, he's shredded. He shredded his knee in 2006 so bad that when a doctor was asked how bad it was on a scale of 1 to 3, the doctor said 4.
Wow.
So he's been through this before, so understandably so. All right, so you wanted to say Arizona, but you're not.
I wanted to say Arizona, but right now... I can't say
She's almost pulling her eyebrows out
I know.
Over here.
I can't say them. So I'm actually going to go... I'm not picking Dallas. They're going to do something to screw that up. So I'm going to go with the toss up between, it'll be Seattle and Philly.
Okay.
Actually.
All right. That's who I would go with too. With
really?
NFC. Yeah,
yeah.
Actually, spot on.
Do you guys believe in Mark Sanchez or?
I believe in that offense.
Yes.
And their defense is playing pretty good too.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I wouldn't say I believe in Sanchez. I'm waiting for another butt fumble.
Did you guys see the whole circle of life graph that they did? This, you know, what was it? Geno replaced Sanchez, Vic replaced Geno, and then Sanchez replaced.
I love it.
The whole little circle.
And I do like that, you know, some of the Jets players have come out and said that they babied Sanchez. They didn't treat him right. They didn't, the coaching staff, you know, they didn't utilize
him. I can believe that.
Yeah.
Especially a disorganized franchise like that.
So you never know. Maybe he is going to shine now. He clearly looks like it.
That's possible. I still have no faith in Mark Sanchez, personally. I've watched the butt fumble way too many times in my life.
It's hard. USC quarterbacks do not fare well.
And they're always so attractive until Mark Sanchez.
No,
but that's neither here nor there.
No, he's definitely attractive.
Yeah,
sure.
Again, the butt fumble.
Speaking of attractive, for the AFC, I will definitely, I know you can call me a homer, but I would have to say New England. I just don't. It's either New England or Indy. I don't see Denver getting past either one of them. I know their offense. I know their defense. But Peyton Manning rarely, you know, but what, five times can beat Tom Brady.
She's throwing stats.
Five. 11-5.
History at y'all. I'm going to stick with my preseason choice, which is the Broncos. And I'm going to be anti-D-Murph.
That's right.
And then before the season, I said the Saints, they're not as good. So I'll go off with the NFC going back there. For me, I'll go with the Lions. So
I like the Lions, but I just worry about Stafford. He's very inconsistent.
He's got Megatron, though.
Yeah.
He is sick, man.
I know. That's why he's on my fantasy team. And then I got screwed for those weeks that he was injured. My fantasy teams were all decimated between Calvin Johnson, AJ Green. I lost no Sean Marino for the season. Anyway, Blythe, your turn. Let's not wail about our fantasy teams.
Honestly, the AFC is nothing but a crapshoot right now. I'd like to say the Patriots, but I don't trust their defense. I'd like to say the Steelers, just because the AFC North is so crazy tough right now with all of those teams at least having five wins. The Bengals are the only one the only one with five wins. Every other team has six. I would like to say the Broncos, but
In the Browns?
No, I do not. Maybe a year or so. I just doubt that they'll keep this up. And I would like to say the Colts, just because Andrew Luck is that good. He's MVP type year. But then I keep going back to the Broncos just because of that defense and because they got Peyton Manning. So it's tough to pick against them until somebody, and at the same time, it's tough to pick against the Patriots because they've done it for so many years in a row.
They have. To me, you use the word crapshoot. I would not take any money and lay any money down on teams playing in the Super Bowl this year. I don't have any faith in any of them. None of them are good, just that they're going to be able to get past, because when you see crazy things happen, like the Steelers 2 weeks in a row score six touchdowns and then all of a sudden lose to the Jets, you're so confused.
And that's my biggest thing, is that if you look at all of these records, no one is playing dominant. No one is shutting people out. Even the Super Bowl champs are second in their division right now in the Seattle Seahawks. I don't see any dominance in the league this year. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it is a crapshoot for everyone. And, you know, the old saying goes, any given Sunday.
Sure. Any given Sunday in this town. I am excited, though, that I think are going to have some different teams in there. Mm-hmm. I think before the season started, I was somewhat convinced that the Seahawks were going to make it again. And so I'm kind of rooting against them just so that we do have a little bit of new blood in there. What are you ladies going to do on Sunday when there is no 1 o'clock Jaguar game?
Watch other games. I love football. It is the only sport that I will watch other games. I won't watch anything other than the Red Sox, you know, hockey, the same. It's the only sport I will watch other teams that I really don't care about.
Okay.
I'll watch some football, but probably not too much. I watch more for fantasy than anything. If there's a good matchup that day, I haven't checked out the matchups for Sunday yet. But what I've been looking forward to is getting back out to this place on the north side called Amelia Shotgun Sports. It's skeet shooting out there, and I haven't been there since before the season started, just because football season is always so crazy for all of us.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to taking out a little aggression.
Do you wear the glasses?
Yeah, you have to. You have to wear the glasses.
Do you look hot in the glasses?
Probably.
The bye week is fun, though, to kind of decompress. Mm-hmm. And One of the things that I love about Florida is the weather.
Right.
Well, with the 1 o'clock games that we always get, it's right in the middle of the best time of the day. So the one thing that is nice is we don't have to be locked in inside somewhere watching the game from 1 to 4. We can do kind of whatever we want and then tune into the later games, because usually the 4 o'clock games are the ones that have my attention more anyway. But all right, someone who is always interesting to pay attention to.
Oh, here we
the
go.
Man, the myth, the legend. Can I call him a man, actually? Maybe
no.
The boy, the myth, the legend?
He's not a legend.
Donna, talk to me about the Biebs.
So I saw this a few days ago, and it might have been last week. I can't really recall, but and the headline was Justin Bieber crashes Bible study for the Steelers. I'm like, first of all, there's a lot of things I didn't understand. I didn't understand that the Steelers had Bible study. I didn't understand that Justin Bieber could have access to any team that he wishes, let alone crash their Bible study.
I think a lot of teams have Bible study, but right, an outsider being able to come in, that's
no, screams distraction.
Strange
look, this,
thing.
First of all, him in sports doesn't go well. You remember the, I believe it was Chicago Blackhawks?
It was when Chicago Blackhawks with the Stanley Cup, that's
yes,
right. And
when
he was walking all over the logo. And
you're Canadian. You should know what is proper, and that is clearly against the rules. Clearly. You do not do that.
Well, the fact that he was so important enough to that Ben Roethlisberger had to come out
yes,
and say that he's not a distraction, that is a distraction right there. And who cares how many followers he has and how many followers you're trying to get? Get over it. It's
where
it's not a popularity contest.
Here,
it's a football game.
It really is funny because he was talking with a 93.7, the fan up there, and they asked him about having, you know, Bieber there with you. And is that the reason why you've lost? Because they stunk it up last week. And, you know, he had to come out and say, really? No, you know, it's he's not the issue. He said that they even had Plexico Burris there. So, you know, who do you want to blame? But like,
yeah,
we have people come in and out all the
slightly
time.
Slightly different.
He's
yeah,
such an easy target to pick on, too. And it's just go away.
You
go
know,
back to Canada. Nobody wants you here.
I was going to ask, if Justin Bieber walked through the store, what would you say to him? Blythe already gave me her response.
I'm leaving.
I wouldn't say anything. I would wish I had my heels on just so I could
make Olive go after him.
I do have my heels on, and I would definitely, A, tower over him, and
right?
B, I would probably say to him, you're not cool. That hair is awful.
Oh, the hair. And
that,
the people,
those are
the guys that try to emulate the hair. Oh,
I don't like it.
I wish Keyshawn Johnson would really, really do something, because I love that feud right there between
mm-hmm,
him, Neighbors, throwing the eggs. I just, that would be
such
so
a
much
grow
fun.
Up. He needs somebody to teach him a lesson.
You know, do you ever sit there and think, I always tell this to my husband, you know, if they had one shot to just shoot people out in space and leave them there, who would you have that? And he was definitely on the top of my list.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I'd probably right at this moment, not in life in general, pick Tony Romo. I'm so angry that he was able to go into that game with two broken vertebrae, which you are not supposed to play a football game with, I feel like.
Yeah.
And destroy us based off of barely having to do anything.
I really thought, like, he was making a dumb football move. I'm like, he's going to get paralyzed
same
and
here,
ruin the rest of his life just for to play against the Jaguars. Like,
you know,
you don't do that.
But if it was true that Jerry Jones came out and said it's about his pain tolerance, what else was he really supposed to do? I mean, if he doesn't go in, then it seems like, well, you're not tough enough.
Right.
You know, his own owner, GM, coach, everything all wrapped up in one, called him out, basically.
Well, with my one finger that's messed up, little dislocation, my pain tolerance would not be high enough to play in the game. So I don't fault anyone when I hear that they're not able to play. Speaking of that, major loss today for the Jaguars with wide receiver Allen Robinson playing so well as a rookie and really coming on, especially in the last few weeks. So really tough loss that that they're going to be with out him for the entire rest of the season. But good news on the injury front is that Aaron Colvin was activated today. He was the defensive player that tore his ACL in the Senior Bowl,
right,
which is by far the worst possible time to have
right,
an injury. And Gus Bradley really liked him, stuck with him. They drafted him and then, or signed him. I forget if he was drafted or undrafted. But now he gets to be activated. So I'm really looking forward to being able to watch him play.
It's a great story.
It is.
And I
That's why we have the right people.
I interviewed him a few before the Voids Jaguars issue, and we talked a little bit with him about whenever he got that call, and he said whenever he saw the 904 area code, that's when he knew that it was Gus Bradley calling him and telling him that he was going to be a Jaguar. And so he
what
just knew right away.
Story.
So I'm like, oh, that's really, he's the type of guy that you're rooting for.
That's got to be some kind of feeling, you know, to be drafted, to get the call.
Because everybody can say that. And that's
was
exactly
drafted.
What he said. He said,
like,
everybody will say that they'll come after you. He said, but whenever he saw the 904 area code, he knew.
That story gives me chills down my spine. And again, it's one of the reasons that I do believe. I may not believe in victory for us against the Colts, but I do believe in the staff that's in place. All right. Coming up next, we are going to do a little bit of crosstalk with Fat Tony. I can't wait. I only get to talk to him via microphone, usually, and never in person. So we get to talk to him. And again, next week, next Tuesday night, everybody come on out and see us. Boston's at the River City Marketplace. For all you Northsiders, it is right in your backyard. We have not been over to that side of town yet. So come on out and see us. We will have defensive tackle son Derek Marks with us. We're going to have a blast, drink specials, all that fun stuff. And we will be back. Helmets and Heels, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.